Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing. It is a Monday and it is hour two. Appreciate everybody getting in today for your college football conversation. What a tremendous weekend of games. And it started, actually, as same as always, started before you even got to Saturday and carried on through. Appreciate Olin Buchanan coming on and talking about one of those games. It was close and it was exciting, and I've never seen a field goal hit off the top of the upright. Were you watching the Arkansas game at the end? Field goal hit the top of the upright. I'm trying to remember. They moved them back finally. 40, and it was a more makeable field goal. It landed on top of the thing, bounced back in. And so Texas A&M gets the win on the road. Olin Buchanan came on. We discussed the Aggies' offense and the issue still facing Jimbo Fisher because they won. Your offense stinks, Jimbo. It stinks bad. Well, we had a new quarterback. You had a new quarterback last year. It stunk. And you had Kellen Mond, who was anything but a new quarterback 2 years ago. It was better. But Jimbo has a reputation, and I will say it's real. He's a good coach, really good coach. He knows quarterback play and offense and everything else. His offense stinks, and he's never gotten it rolling. He's never been Rumpelstiltskin out there at any point. With Jeff Collins getting fired at Georgia Tech today, now I'd said this earlier, and it's a factual statement. And when I say earlier, I mean like before the season started, spring practice. I said, here's one thing, Georgia Tech fans, you got to admit, at least with Paul Johnson, you always won. And for the most part, he had 3-9. I think it was a 3-9. It just stinker. And it was sandwiched between another winning record and then the season where they went to the Orange Bowl and beat Mississippi State, beat Georgia that year too. With Kevin Sumlin, it wasn't perfect. And in fact, it wasn't even really good all the time. I don't know. You scored. Now, what does that mean? Well, it just means you lost differently. But they got the win. And it was 14-0 Arkansas early, and it looked like it just may start rolling because I think it was the first four possessions for Texas A&M. Three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. Then Anaya Smith got hurt. So it was not looking good. And they made a play and had the weird fumble return, and all of a sudden Arkansas got knocked off schedule. Arkansas was off balance, and they never fixed it. And I will say that is the kind of thing where I'm not going to say a failing on anybody's part, but that is where you look at your head coach, where you look at the upperclassmen, where you look at the quarterback, whomever it is. It's different on every team. But you look to the folks, there is a group, and you can describe them always the same, the coach, the upperclassmen, the quarterback. You look at them, and they're supposed to right this. They're supposed to sort of stem the tide, stop the bleeding, and Arkansas was never able to right themselves. Kelly Quinlan came on JacketsOnline.com only because I heard yesterday. You expected Saturday. You heard yesterday, official earlier today, this morning, Georgia Tech's fired the head coach and the athletic director. Alan Green's not at Auburn anymore. Told you. Baseball, College World Series for Auburn. Basketball, damn, they got to number one. Didn't they get to number one?
I believe so.
Yeah, they got voted in during the regular season. Made it to a Final Four a couple of years ago. Basketball and baseball don't save you at Auburn. Football is what matters. Now, that's from the financial standpoint, but then also what the priority is. Georgia Tech, why did Todd Stansberry, the athletic director, get fired? Well, at Georgia Tech, it's even a little different because they just don't have the when I say it's a little different, it's huge different. They don't have the money. But they also don't have the same standards. They don't have the – and I'm just – Georgia Tech fan may lose their mind here. But you know what you are as a program. You don't swim in the same waters as an SEC program, as almost any SEC program, hashtag Vanderbilt, and they're trying to change. But you know the differences there. And so you don't necessarily have to succeed like the level that Brian Harsin last year, 6-6 in a bowl game. That would have been enough for Collins and Stansberry. Dan, your opinion? 6-6 in a bowl game. Stansberry and Collins are both still there, correct?
Nobody's even talking about them being on the hot seat at that point.
Thank you. Absolutely true. At Auburn, it's like, well, the AD's already gone. What up, Harsin? Let's see how you do Saturday. At George Tech's a little different. So, AD's out. Head coach is out. Just an abject failure with the football program in virtually every way. And great kids, and they worked hard, and all of that's true. Just a horrid product. Just bad, bad, bad. And so, George Tech, again, Power 5 program, big-time conference. The financial limitations haven't even – there's a difference in the conference, but it doesn't conferences, but it doesn't prevent you, certainly not at this point, it doesn't prevent you from succeeding. So George Tech moves on, and they will Brent Key, the offensive line coach, he's a Tech guy and had been with Saban and been around a lot, but he'll take over and coach the rest of the season, I believe. Coming up in about 10 minutes, today's Truist reporter, Eric Kane, VolQuest.com, Locked On Vols podcast. We're going to go back to Rocky Top, talk about what happened this past weekend. We got Brad Sinkiff coming on. He'll talk DJU. He'll talk Bo Collins. He'll talk Will Shipley and that Clemson defense, which if DJU is – and there's no Klubnik talk now. There was when the five-star freshman was Deshaun Watson and the starter was Cole Stout. There was when the five-star was Trevor Lawrence and Kelly Bryant was the starting quarterback. There ain't a lot of talk right now. Klubnik's still the five-star, and maybe he's the future stud, and that's DJU's playing really good football. Wasn't perfect the other day, but really good football. So we will talk again with Brad Sinkiff, but then also you pair that, what might be attainable – for them offensively, with what the Clemson defense is? All right, now you got a chance. What do you mean the Clemson defense? They gave up, was it 38? They gave up 38. Played on the road against Dave Clawson and Sam Hartman. And Sam Hartman's getting one of his receivers back as well. So that was not an easy assignment, and Wake Forest rolled up some yards. It happens. That Clemson defense is elite still. And has the potential to get even better as they go through the season. Like I said, you face this year's edition of the Demon Deacons offensively, this year's edition of it, without Mitch Griffiths, who did a great job when he had to play, but without Mitch Griffiths, with Sam Hartman instead. Yeah, they're going to pressure you, especially at home, especially when they get it rolling, especially with a short field or two. And so I think it was a monster win by Clemson. Not only a good opponent, ranked opponent, but conference, division, it came at the end of the season last year. Remember where Clemson had two games to make up. And they beat Wake Forest and got within one game, which means all they needed to do was tie, and then Wake was able to win its final game of the season. And so won the division. Well, Clemson's already up. Now, the fact that we're even talking about it's September, and we're talking about Wake Forest and what the division may look like in November. All right, big point for Dave Clawson. But not able to get the dub. Like I said, they dropped 3-1. And it's just for their season and what they were really hoping for, it could put a wrap on it. It could, because Clemson, Wake Forest, we always say, no, Clemson would have to lose two. No, Clemson would have to lose two, and Wake Forest would have to win out. So there's if Wake doesn't lose anymore, Clemson would have to lose two. Wake gives it up on defense some. So, again, Their angle was to outscore you, and they almost did it with Clemson. But we will talk with Brad Sinkiff again. Bottom of the hour, we're going to take a quick break, come back, a little Vol talk next.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on Chuck Oliver Show. Tennessee dominated UF Saturday. Buddy of mine yesterday, we won. I was like, you didn't win. You dominated, man. And now has 1, 2, 3 chances to answer one question. How much better is the defense? It's a brand of improved. It's a brand of better. Florida's got some really good players. And Anthony Richardson had his, even with the South Florida thing a year ago, Anthony Richardson had his best Saturday afternoon as a college quarterback. And they have some really good players. And so Tennessee gave up some big plays. Tennessee's defense is better. Now, how much better? Because three, and I mean monster offenses still on the schedule, and it will determine the season. Alabama, Kentucky, they're even getting better, man. I'm telling you, they're twitchy and fun and fast on the outside now, and they usually aren't. Kentucky and then Georgia's offense. So the defense, it's better. How much better? Want to welcome on right now today's Truist reporter, Eric Kane from BallQuest.com. Of course, Locked On Vols. Welcome, Eric. How you doing today, brother?
Hey, doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. My team won, your team won, but let's talk about it as professional media members. I had been told by a buddy of mine up there, said, I can't remember the last time there was more anticipation for a home game. They've had plenty of Oregon's come in, Oklahoma, Bama, everybody's been to Knoxville. What was the vibe leading to kickoff Thursday, Friday when the RVs are in? What was that like up there?
Oh, I mean, it was electric, man. I mean, you know, how many times in over the course of the last 10 years has Tennessee, you know, the stage has been set, they check with Neyland, it's been a sold-out crowd. Not many times you've had an undefeated team, you know, going into this one, but you know, the stage was set. College game day was there, and Tennessee delivered. And so if this game sold out prior to the Akron game the week before, and everybody's ready to roll, and the environment was incredible. I mean, it was, as Josh Heupel would say, what college football is supposed to be about. It was college football at its best on Saturday, and the environment was good, and the game was good, and, you know, Tennessee was able to hold on to it at the end.
Let's talk Hendon Hooker. I just spinning gold, man, and running the ball as well, including the one play where he escaped and took off for whatever it was, like 40 yards. He's just an amazing. If there is a conversation, and if you care to have one, the last week of September about the Heisman, I do not. But brother, I'll entertain Hendon Hooker, and I know who he plays in the conference and in the division with. Just what a fabulous Saturday for him.
Yeah, I said this on my show earlier this morning. You know, I don't like entertaining Heisman talk right now. I kind of treat that like the college football playoff rankings. When the first rankings come out, okay, let's talk about it. But I will say this. Hendon Hooker is one of college football's best right now. And he's just been spectacular. You know, what he did on Saturday, he completed 78% of his passes. He accounted for 461 total yards of offense by himself. He had over 100 yards on the ground. He was marvelous through the air. Tennessee, you know, it was one of those ball games where they knew that they needed to score and score and score and just, you know, keep putting on more steam. And Hendon Hooker led them that way. And he got banged up a little bit, man. He took some hits. He's got to learn how to slide. And for him to continue to deliver and, you know, being hurt a little bit, I mean, that was a gutsy performance. And Josh Heupel said that he was a warrior on Saturday night. And I couldn't agree more. He was absolutely fantastic and is one of college football's best right now.
Let's talk receivers, because everybody knows about big old Brew McCoy, but it was fun to see him out there running around producing. And then also, even with an injury, I mean, other folks stepped up, tight end, the running back got involved a little bit. That was an interesting set of receivers that he was throwing to.
Yeah, it was funny. You know, Tennessee, you thought that they'd play a couple more receivers to try to, you know, make up for the loss of Cedric Tillman. They played three receivers, Brew McCoy, of course, Jalen Hyatt, and then Ramel Keaton, who a lot of people,
wow.
And I'm gonna pull the thumb here, myself had written off just kind of saying that, hey, you know, Ramel Keaton is just kind of who he is, right? He made the best play, arguably, of the football game, laying out full extension, a 43-yard reception for the first down, and then they go back to him later in that drive. And if you remember, that drive is when Tennessee went 99 yards to score the go-ahead touchdown right before halftime. He was fantastic. But they got the tight ends involved. Princeton Fant, 5 receptions. Jabari Small had 3 receptions and a receiving touchdown. Now, Tennessee was spreading the ball out, trying to make up for the loss of Cedric Tillman, but Brew McCoy was good, and Jalen Hyatt, he continues to play at a really high level this year. And it's good to see, because he had such high expectations last year, and he didn't meet those, and of course this year he is.
38-33 was the final. All right, let's talk about you're on the line, I believe, when I was bringing you on there. This is a brand of improved when it comes to defense. And I am trying to give as accurate a description of that. They're not a great defense. They might be a good defense. Tell me what you think they are right now, because that's the key to me. I know what the offense is going to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress. I think the secondary has some issues big time. I know I'm not breaking news here. Tennessee at cornerback is not very good right now. Warren Burrell, who's been a three-year starter, who isn't, you know, making any all-conference teams himself, he was off with an injury. A guy in D. Williams, who they were counting on to play a lot this year, he hadn't played yet. He's been out with injury. Kamal Haddon, who's been their best cornerback to date, he had a tough day on Saturday. And, you know, Christian Charles, the other cornerback who's starting right now, he's still learning the position. There's not a lot of depth at cornerback. You got two safeties who are a little slow. I thought Tamarian McDonald at the star position had a rough day. Defensively, like, the line has been, you know, they're not great, but they play a lot of players. They've been a pleasant surprise for me so far. The linebackers a little slow in their drops. This defense isn't a very good zone defense, and so they got to figure it out. They got to get better over this off week. They need to get some guys healthy. But Tennessee's defense will be aggressive. They will continue to blitz from the second to third layer, and that's kind of their MO. And Anthony Richardson was about as good as he could have been on Saturday, and they were able just to make one play at the end to get to him while he was throwing and come up with that interception.
Talk a little Byron Young for us.
Yeah, Byron Young, good player. That last play of the game, as I was mentioning, he was at Anthony Richardson's feet, bringing him down, and, you know, that ball sailed there. I don't know if it would have been called for a touchdown. Who knows? But it wasn't. And, he got held a couple of times. He didn't have a great game, but he is continuously living in the backfield. He's not getting there as much as you want him to, but he is hitting opposing quarterbacks. He is a guy that offensive coordinators have to game plan around. They have to run to the opposite side. He's really growing into a good SEC defensive end. That's coming up from the junior college ranks a season ago. He's a good one.
All right, so Tennessee, as they exit the game, where are they health-wise?
Well, Cedric Tillman, of course, is out. I think this week off is going to be really big to see if he can get back to the LSU game. That might be pushing it. We'll see if he can get back for Alabama for sure, but there's a chance he could play against LSU. Jamari Small, who was coming into the game, is extremely questionable. He had 23 touches, so that was good. Looks like he's fine. Dylan Sampson, another running back, didn't play on Saturday, and I think that he'll be okay after the off week. Warren Burrell still got a banged-up shoulder. We'll see about him. But, you know, there's some key guys who need to get healthy, don't get me wrong. But overall, this team is in pretty good shape right now. And it's kind of weird to have an off week after 4 weeks of the season, but it's kind of needed for Tennessee because, again, like I mentioned, Hendon Hooker, he gutted it out. He was hurting the other night. I bet he could use a week off as well. But he's fine, and overall, I think Tennessee's in pretty decent shape. They just need to get Cedric Tillman back.
All right, so it is the bye week, and then it's in Baton Rouge, which, you know, I was talking to earlier. I led the show with Tennessee today. I was like, the dominated Florida, they're worth talking about. Not like going to LSU is any sort of prize, but we know that every Tennessee fan, it's the Alabama, either the game, the series, the rivalry, when was the last time we beat them? That is just kind of hanging out there in the distance, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, of course, LSU is going to be a tough game on the road in the Bayou. It's always a challenge down there. And, of course, you know, what LSU offense are you going to get? What quarterback are you going to get? There's a lot of questions there. But that's a big-time road game. And I think Tennessee's got a great opportunity to win that game. Let's see what LSU looks like this weekend. And then you got Alabama. And third Saturday in October means a whole lot to each fan base, even though Alabama's beat up on Tennessee and really everybody else in the last 15 years. So I think a lot of fans are starting to look forward to that game, but no, LSU is going to be a tremendous challenge the week before that. And of course, after that, you got Kentucky and Georgia.
So maybe they channel the spirit of Rick Clawson and they can go down to Baton Rouge and maybe get a dub. There are so many just big moments still out there for Tennessee fans. I'm really happy to see that fan base get a little more of the continuation from last year. Eric, appreciate your time, brother. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you.
All right. Eric Kane covers the Vols, VolQuest.com, the On3 Network, of course. Just does a great job there. So always like having Eric Kane on. As he said, LSU, and you don't know what offense you're going to get. That is because of quarterback. And Jaden Daniels, who actually played a pretty good ball game, but injured. And so 38-0 win over New Mexico, and I don't know what you necessarily prove against Southern. I don't know what you prove against New Mexico. You're back in conference, and there's nothing easy about it. So just jump back into it, man, and play one of the most explosive offenses in football in two Saturdays. And then you still got Bama and the rest of it to go. So nothing easy about it. And what is it, Auburn this weekend? So you go on the road and then come home, and it just rolls right along. So I want to tell you one more thing about LSU as well. If you saw the game on Saturday, you got to see pretty rare, something that I've been waiting on for more than a minute, and that was the LSU ground game showing not only production yards and getting in the end zone, et cetera, but some of the specific names involved. There are guys that we have been – Noah Cain, I've been waiting to see him since he left, went to Penn State, and is now back. John Emery, he got some run. Armani Goodwin got run as well. So you're looking at, if it is a deep and complete and healthy and able to take the field running back core, that's going to change things for Jaden Daniels if he is healthy and in the game. And again, Garrett Nussmeier had come off the bench, threw a touchdown pass the other day as well. And so when you talk about that level of competition, that it was with Southern and they get the huge win and then a blowout, shutout victory, over New Mexico, there's an opportunity for some guys to sort of, it's a get right scenario, but LSU had had those before. And so you look at where they are now, and it's involving a lot of different receivers, as Dan brought up earlier with Besh getting out on the field and getting targets. Dre Jenkins as well, and he's the upperclassman that it's always kind of like, oh, yeah, and he was there as well. Neighbors, Brian Thomas got involved with a big score as well. So it was good to see a lot of those guys getting stretched out. But, of course, as you get on the road this weekend in the SEC to Auburn, it's going to be a way different test.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open, Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Rolling through a Monday. Chuck Oliver Show. Talking college football. What we do. Got Brad Sinkiff coming on. 105.5 The Roar. We're going to talk Clemson. And I have to say, before we bring him on, I do want to mention Dabo and Clemson in a completely different site, way. Texas lost over the weekend. Texas, we're back. Well, maybe we're not back. That's become this running joke. They lost to Texas Tech. You will find the real takeaway about 900 miles away. And I'm doing the math based on Bandit and Snowman. I'm assuming it's 900 miles from Georgia and Alabama to Texas. Texas losing to a conference team that it's better than? You saw Miami. They lost to an average Conference USA team. The takeaway isn't what Sark or Mario or whoever needs to be doing better. You know what the takeaway from everything that we're seeing every weekend in college football? Do you know what the real takeaway is? Be more impressed with what we're getting from Kirby and Saban and Dabo and, like, I don't know, Ryan Day. Like, two other people. Be more impressed with what you're getting from... what they're doing every season, winning 10 games every season, being in conference championship games seemingly every season, playing every season as a national championship contender, folks, that is sorcery in today's college football landscape with what's available for rosters and money and everything else going on. Every challenge, it is sorcery. And Dabo went on the road and got it done, man. Like I said, there are things Sark needs to do better. Mario Cristobal needs to do better. The real takeaway is, my gosh, how is Dabo, for instance, getting this done? Went on the road, beat an undefeated team in the division, and that's not nothing. Want to welcome on right now. Again, the guy does a great job covering everything when it comes to Clemson, and we always want to have him on when it's time to talk Clemson, especially after a huge win from 105.5 The Roar. It is Brad Sinkiff. Brother, how you doing today?
Chuck, I'm doing great, man. It's good to talk to you. Week 4 in the books. Week 5, huge game coming up here in the upstate of South Carolina. Life could not be better in the college football world.
Let's talk a little DJU. 5 touchdown passes Saturday. I believe that gives him 10 on the season, and he is playing really, really good football. He is better than – and this is not to disparage anybody. I'm making a comparison. We all wanted to compare his situation to the situation of Kelly Bryant and Cole Stout. Not quite going to unfold that same way, it doesn't look like.
No, and I don't think it was ever the plan. This is actually going fairly scripted for Dabo Swinney. You know, back in July, we talked about this. July and August, all you heard from the coaching staff and the players was consistency about DJ Uiagalelei. He's a starter. He's a starter. He's a starter. He deserves it. It's his job. He'll go as far as he can with it. You know, if things go awry, then they'll deal with it. Well, things haven't gone awry, and DJ has figured out a lot of his mistakes from last year. He's playing more confidence. Mechanically, I think he's a lot better. His receivers are finally starting to make some plays for him. I think there were still some questions about that going into this Wake Forest game, but they showed up, at least for that Saturday in Winston-Salem. And that's, I mean, Cade Klubnik's just going to sit on the bench. He's going to learn. He's going to progress. He's not ready. I said it in July and August, and I continue to say it into September now, deep into the month, that he just isn't ready. But yet, the starter's doing nothing to be worried about right now. So I think Clemson's in a really good spot with DJ. This is about as good a start as he could have gotten off to.
Yeah, 370 and 5 scores on the road, that's not nothing. Let's talk about the receiver core you mentioned. Bo Collins, well, that's a big old tall kid. And he looks like the next one, but then there's Ngata, and then there's Davis Allen, who's about as athletic as you're going to get at tight end. There are some fun guys out on the perimeter who are kind of new to some fans.
I'm glad you mentioned Davis Allen. I said last week on my show, I think he might be one of the best players on this football team. And it didn't really show up in the stat box and in the stat sheets and stuff. But when you go back and you watch him and his blocking ability, and then you saw what he did in the passing game. Boy, how you see the NFL every week. If you've got a tight end who you can throw the ball to in the end zone, or you can throw it high so that the only guy who can catch it is your guy, that is an absolute luxury for a quarterback. And that's what Davis Allen can give this Clemson offense. Bo Collins has been tremendous this year. He's had some inconsistencies, but, man, he's finally emerging as an alpha guy. And then Joseph Ngata, showing why he's the big play threat down the field against Wake Forest. They've got to continue to work that. He has not had a lot of opportunities, but he made a big catch against Louisiana Tech. He made a couple against Wake Forest. He may not ever turn into that five-star guy, NFL guy that everybody thought he would be, but it doesn't mean he can't impact this team. They're starting to show some signs, Chuck. There's still some room to grow there at receiver. They got to get more consistent. But they're having finally some big plays in this offense that they really lacked a year ago.
All right, again, just a teacup of Adam Randall. E.J. Williams is out there running around as well. Am I projecting, are both of those kids healthy? Or are they healthy enough to kind of get back in the mix? What is the, think about the next 8 games for Williams and Randall.
Yeah, Randall's still working through it. He's a true freshman. He's not as poised to just step in and have a huge role like Antonio Williams has had in terms of being a true freshman. But, you know, he rehabbed. He's been doing nothing but rehabbing since he tore his ACL back in, I guess, early April. So he's finally, you know, getting on the field and getting some opportunity. It's going to be a process for him. I think, you know, 6-7 games from now, we're probably talking about him in a little bit different way. And EJ's snap count keeps going down every week. He made a really good catch on Saturday. I don't know really where he stands. I think he's just kind of falling behind a couple of other other guys, but it doesn't mean he won't get more opportunities moving forward.
Yeah, and it doesn't appear to be critical need right now as well. Got some other guys stepping up. Let's talk Will Shipley, because, I don't know, or hour one, I took like 30 seconds of the show, and I was like, what's leg day look like for Will Shipley? Because he ain't but about 200 pounds, is he? And I don't know. Pound for pound, that's a phrase we use. I mean, that kid has got to be as strong as any running back in America. And what he did down near the goal line the other day was impressive.
He's an effort guy. That's Will Shipley in practice. That's Will Shipley running sprints. That's Will Shipley in the weight room. What you saw in that one play where he shoved off a tackle and just made an all-out body effort to dive into the end zone to get that ball across the goal line. That's what he does every single day, every single rep, every single moment of his life. That's not just on Saturdays. I've watched him at Clemson's practice. He's a possessed man. For whatever reason, he has to play with that sort of intensity, and it paid off in a big moment for the Tigers on Saturday with that touchdown.
All right, let's talk secondary, and I'm just going to make a blanket statement that it's true. I don't care about context, opponent, setting, whatever. You're Clemson. You can't give up 350, six touchdowns, no picks. Sam Hartman is a stud, too. But tell me how that pass defense in particular gets better.
Well, the technique's got to get better, first of all. If you're going to play cover two, you're going to play press man, tempo two, whatever you want to run there, you have to jam the receiver at the line of scrimmage. You can't let him get an easy break right out the gate. And when Sam Hartman sees that, he knows his guy's going to be your guy. 90% of the time, he's going to throw that ball off. So they've got to get better at jamming guys, and they've got to get way better getting their head turned around. You're never going to play on a Sunday in the NFL if you can't get your head turned around, because that's a spot foul in the league. It's only a 15-yard penalty in college. Learn how to turn your head around. They've got to work on that, but they also need some help. They need to get more pressure from that defensive front. That's what maybe surprised me the most about the Wake game, is that Wake's offensive line didn't just completely fall in and collapse time after time. They handle that Clemson defensive pressure.
Last thing I want to ask you, BT Potter, did I see he set a record? I always like throwing a bone to a kid. He's a senior. Actually, he's an extra senior. He's been there forever. Did I see he set a record, or did I completely throw you a curveball there?
I there was something, but it's not coming to me off the top of my head. Boy, what a clutch kicker he is. How about Dabo Swinney?
You ain't lying.
Not to go for it on fourth down. I mean, most coaches would have in that situation. He had faith his kicker could make a 50-yarder to stay in the game. That was clutch.
Yeah, and I think it was either career scoring or whatever. He said some sort of – and it's the same thing, as I'm going to admit, it was a kicker, so I didn't really dive down into it. I was like, I'll ask Brad. But congrats to BP Potter, because, again, super senior out there and with a huge Saturday. Last thing I want to ask you about going forward, just team mindset right now, because for Clemson, I was mentioning, you know, the real takeaway from what happened, like Colorado State lost to Sacramento State the other day. And I'm like, the real takeaway is, in this age of roster ambiguity, I was like, the real thing is to celebrate Dabo and Saban and Kirby, et cetera. Last year was the quote car crash season for Clemson. Where's their mindset right now? Because they got a monster game. They got one of the two biggest games in America coming up Saturday against NC State.
I think that was well stated. We forget how hard it is to win in college football, Chuck. Everybody needs to just take a moment and realize sometimes how difficult it is to do what some of these coaches have done and continue to avoid some of these pitfalls others fall into. They're in a pretty good place. I mean, I think mentally the confidence level with the offense has just grown and grown and grown. And now they show they can go win with the offense. Maybe that's the step that needed to take place. Maybe that's the biggest lesson learned in Saturday's game, because that didn't happen last year. You didn't have any faith the offense could go win the game if it was on the line. Well, they did on Saturday on the road against a top 25 opponent. I think they've proven a lot about who they are. But this is going to be a different animal this week against NC State, man. They're going to play a completely different style of defense. They're going to try to bully Clemson around. Clemson's going to have to maybe not have as many big plays and try to find some efficiency. This is a huge one. I think this is the most hyped game in Death Valley for Clemson since Louisville came to town in 2016.
Lamar. Wow.
Yep.
How about that? Yep. And I was going to ask you about that because, I mean, big games, nothing new to Memorial Stadium there. I mean, I've said Tallahassee on certain nights. Certainly, I'm sure you've been to Blacksburg on a particular Saturday night. Clemson, those are the three joints in the ACC that consistently you walk around and you're like, okay, there's something big happening here. I think even for Clemson, Saturday night is going to be a huge deal, man. All right, brother, I appreciate your time as always, and we will check in with you again soon, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you.
All right, Brad Sinkiv, 105.5 The Roar. Clemson, big game's nothing new to them. They get Notre Dame rotating in every so often. They go out of conference with Georgia. I've been there when Auburn's in the house. Florida State, UNC's had big. There's been huge games. This one is notable because it is a conference game. It's a division game. We know all of that extra math involved there. But it's the last year of divisions. And so NC State is thinking, we may do the dirty work ourselves. Basically, you got to get Clemson out of the way one more time. It's okay to be the second best out of 14 next year. What does second best out of 14 get you this year in the ACC? Because I think the second best team is NC State. I think. If you're second best, what does that get you? If you're Dave Doran, what are you doing the first Saturday of December if you're the second best team in the ACC this season? Dabo's the best team. He's in Charlotte. Dave Doran, he's got Christmas lights and a staple gun. All right? That's his Saturday. If he's the second best team in the next season, if you're the second best team, Charlotte, here we come. This year, a little different. You still have to do the dirty work yourself. Meanwhile, Dave Clawson's going, hey, Dave Doran, holler at your boy. I can give you some insight. Like, this is about to be – we've seen this in – Dan, you a NASCAR fan at all?
Not really.
All right, well –
I might have just lost some credibility saying not really.
Oh, no, you're fine. There are racing families in NASCAR, and you race one, you're racing all of them. I mean, I promise you, there are the Allison brothers, Labonte's. You race one.
All trips.
Does Kurt claim Kyle? Because Kyle's the bad boy, right?
Yeah, but Kurt's got a little bit of a mean streak in him, too.
Okay, so maybe cut from the same cloth.
But Kyle, I think, has been a little bit – so you could probably say that I'm a loose NASCAR viewer. Yes, he's been more notable because he's been more competitive and won more.
And so that's what – in NASCAR, you fight one, you fight them all. In fact, I think that's literal. You remember Cale Yarbrough way back in the day? I think the Allison brothers literally fought Cale Yarbrough, like the two of them. Like, you bumped my brother? Well, that's kind of what it is in the ACC now. Hey, Dave, call me. I got some insight. Nothing. I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just having a casual conversation here. But that's kind of how it's going to go. So that's what that is. And it's it's one of the two biggest games in America this coming weekend. You've got Clemson hosting NC State, and it will be it's your Saturday night. I absolutely believe it is. All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll come back, wrap up on this Monday next.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Florida State receives the opening kickoff. It's Trey Benson, crosses over the 20, with a seam, past the 40, and Trey Benson is into the open field, inside the 20, with a stiff arm, and how's that for a start for the Noles?
Boy, opened can on BC, didn't they? Big old performance by Florida State, good for them. Get the dub, and they have they host Wake Forest this Saturday, isn't it?
6.5-point favorite.
How about Dan? Not that we pay attention to those things, and certainly wouldn't mention them if we did. I said the second best game this weekend. Man, there are some just unbelievable tilts going on. And I said Clemson hosting NC State. I don't want to rank games, especially on a Monday. We got so much to catch up from the weekend, but I want to give you just one little snapshot. This Saturday, and I'll talk about the whole weekend, but this Saturday we've got undefeated number 5 or so, hosting undefeated number 10 or so. So that's something. That's Clemson and NC State. What do we got, Dan? Is it Kentucky at Ole Miss? Let me get our buddy Richard Cross on. So that looks like it'll be fun. And that's undefeated versus undefeated. Now, Arkansas, I actually liked Arkansas. And I mentioned this last week. I liked Arkansas on the money line. They were plus 115, which is just a little bit of a take back, but there's no vig. And they could have hit the field goal. They didn't, so it was a big L. The line was 2.5. And so A&M didn't cover. Again, if you care. But I mentioned that to say that at Arkansas, I was asked 2 weeks ago after the Texas game, who can challenge Bama? Can they come back? And what? How good are they? I was like, well, they're way better than we saw, and they will continue to get better because that's a football team's supposed to do that. It's supposed to get better. Supposed to evolve over the season. Well, who should we look out for? Because LSU's already lied, and it was, I mean, we're 2 weeks in. We're trying to forecast this. I said, keep your eye on Arkansas. It's not undefeated versus undefeated, but it is in Fayetteville. Big environment. I'll give you the 3 best games of the weekend. There you go. And so that was Benson, though. He's a transfer. He's one of the transfers from Oregon. And he's a player that I know they've been excited about. I know he's been injured, and he hasn't gotten nearly as much attention as maybe they were wanting to give him. But as they're kind of stretching their legs and looking around and roles are getting established, it's not just Ward or Toa Feely or whomever. That's a nice, deep running back room itself. So Florida State, they're going to get a shot to grab something on Saturday. They've got a big-time opponent coming in who will absolutely strafe their secondary, and it'll be a nice test. So what I was mentioning about the SEC, the reason I want to bring that up, credit to the ACC, because the same thing is starting to happen. I looked at A&M Arkansas last week. I was like, oh, it's already starting. When you have really good teams that start to cannibalize themselves, they start to tack losses on each other. And then you look around, and it's what I was mentioning last week. Oh, I need to talk. Dan, make sure I talk about my playoff, what I was doing in Dallas last week. So you look around, you've got an SEC team with 3 or 4 losses at the end of November. You're like, well, they didn't have a good season. Well, let's look at the schedule. They lost to the number 1, the number 3, and the number 8 team in America. And they're 9-3. They're looking around going, I thought we were pretty good. Well, we lost 3 games to those teams by 11 points. So it's happening in the ACC as well. And this weekend, it's a heck of a testament that it's not like a 1-loss Clemson and a 2-loss NC State. So that's what we got going. Dan, how are you today?
Oh, man, I'm doing awesome. And, you know, funny enough, when you were away on assignment last week, there was a cut from Jeff Collins where he talked about, you know, he was asked, you know, what's your message to those who don't think that you're fit to run this organization anymore? And he said, you know, it's the demonstrable ability that we have not shown yet. At the time, I'll admit, I got a little annoyed with that comment. But then as I went to think about it a little bit further, I said, guys, this is somebody who is being asked to defend themselves. Remember that part in Office Space? What would you say you do here? And the guy gets frustrated and says, you know, I deal with the customers. And they soon enough find out that's not a sufficient response. You don't really have a valuable enough role for us to keep you here at Inatech. So we're going to go ahead and move a different direction. In that case right there, I thought that it was Jeff Collins kind of doing the same thing. He has no answers, but he is desperately trying to find a way to fix this. Now, I'm not going to leave people by talking about something that's bad news, because to the point you're just bringing up right there, the demonstrable ability is being shown right now in Tallahassee with the way that they're playing in these games.
And he got a mess, too, when he inherited.
Can you tell me without a shadow of a doubt that 2 years ago, that game in New Orleans, that number one, that Florida State is in that game, but number two, that they have a chance to win that game, and they do win that game? I'll go ahead and tell you the answer. The answer is no. LSU finds a way to win that game, and that's how that one goes. Last week in Louisville, the same deal. Do you think they find a way to win that? That's demonstrable ability. That's your guys playing hard for you. That's almost your entire team in terms of the difference makers in Jordan Travis and also in Jared Verse being off the field for the second half and a backup quarterback going out there and winning that game. And then this last weekend, when they're about to face an absolute hellish stretch for their schedule, they go out there and they put that performance against Boston College all of a sudden, there's nobody in Tallahassee or anybody around that program saying, yeah, hey, the Deion factor. They're saying, yeah, hey, you know what? It's starting to take shape around here.
It was disappointing because Arkansas didn't win. But I just said Arkansas didn't win. Do you know if it was even a season or two ago what you would be saying? Arkansas doesn't win that game. No, Arkansas don't win that game. Now Arkansas does, just that one Saturday it didn't happen that way. There is a level you get to as a program, and everybody just sort of kind of understands it. In Florida State, they may be breaking through into that next level right now. Wraps up on a Monday, folks. 22 hours. Recharge the batteries. Be back more college football conversation. This time tomorrow on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.